Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Watch up, Mega Maniacs. It's Monday, July 6th, and we just finished watching Monday Night Raw, and it's time for us to gather for the Monday Night Tradition here on Mega Powers Radio, the Raw post-show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. Why do we call ourselves that? Well, I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a moment after a word from our sponsors. Well, technically, we only have sponsors that we have on Patreon, so let me thank those good folks. I want to give a shout-out to this episode being brought tonight by Mr. Robert Galera, also known as Awesome Piano Man, one of our favorite fans. He gave a generous portion to our monthly contribution list on Patreon, and if you want to join that list where you can get shouted out and support us keeping things rolling here, go to patreon.com/megapowersradio for as little as $1 a month. You can help us keep the lights on and keep bringing you all the cool shows that we have on here, like the Dace Man Show, the Raw Post Show, All Talk Show, and anything else that we got cooking up. You can also support us in many other ways that don't involve your coin. If you're one of those folks who can't afford to put it out there, you can join us live every single Monday night here on Mega Powers Radio, or subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube. While you're there, comment, rate, review, preferably do it positively, but do as you need to do. I believe in free speech, and invite your friends to listen if you enjoy what's going on. As far as tonight's show, if you want to get yourself involved, give your opinions on what went down on Raw, or just make fun of us, whatever you're feeling froggy about, you can join the show in a number of ways. We'll have the phone lines opening up around 11:30. Dial in to get yourself in line. We already have a bunch of people in line, actually. So area code 760-512-7247 is the number you want to dial. We got 4 people in line already. Holy crap, it's going to be a lot of people on the call list. You could also join us in the chat room that's opened up there. Shout outs to the folks who got here early. Ferris419, Mono Apex, and Wazili. What's shaking, guys? Thank you for joining us. And also, you can join us on Twitter at Raw Post Show and on Facebook in our official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. Whew. All right, now that I got all that out of the way, let me introduce the host that I have with us tonight. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and host of the Raw Post Show here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, first off, I have returning after quite a hiatus, and we're happy to have him back here from across the pond, Mr. Sean Walker.
Whoop, whoop. It's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop.
Is that the same sound they make over there?
Pretty much. But they don't shoot black people.
You sure that wasn't Alicia Fox's theme?
Whoop, whoop, whoop. All right. Well, also with us here is the host of Addicted to Anime, Huego Rants, and Unanimous Decision MMA, Mr. Steven Huego.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, 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 yo. I had to do one more yo than you. And also with us is the main man of SmartCountMoment.com, Fanboys Anonymous, the host of the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Tony Mango.
It's all yum to be here today. People in the chat get the joke.
Alrighty then. And if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out. So if you're just there as a guest, or if you're not joining us live, you should be joining us live and registering for blogtalkradio.com and joining the chat room sitting below our broadcast player there. But guys, let's get the show started with our conversation and thoughts about tonight's episode of Raw. I thought it was a pretty awesome show overall. A lot of stuff happened throughout these 3 hours. A few cool matches, a few cool moments. The Beast, Brock Lesnar, was in town. I'm pretty happy overall with this episode, but I want to ask you guys, what's the number one thing you took away from this show tonight? Huego, what did you take away?
Cesaro versus John Cena was fucking awesome. That's what I took away.
That's definitely, like I said, one of them great matches that I saw in the show tonight. Walker, Mr. Sean, what'd you think?
Cesaro and John Cena, fucking awesome match, and Seth Rollins is still goddamn fucking beautiful.
Well, I'm happy to know that those good looks have not shaded from him. And Tony, what did you walk away with tonight?
I forgot Randy Orton was gone.
You didn't even miss him.
Not at all. And when he showed up, I was just like, wait, what the fuck? Why is everybody... Oh, Orton. Oh, shit, we haven't seen Orton.
The only reason I knew is because of the points for the Fantasy League, and I'm like, he is... had a zero for quite some time now. Poor guy.
That stood out to me. A lot of positives that are... we'll talk about a little bit later. I should have said Cesaro and Cena, you know, to go with the crew and stuff like that, but tonight was a decent show. And, yeah.
Seems like a pretty consensus agreed all around. Creepers Under Radar in the chat room saying, great main event. Ferris419 saying, it was a fucking awesome main event. I'm assuming that was meant to be read in the Sean voice. let me just ask, I mean, aside from Cesaro and Cena, did you guys like any of the other matches that were on the show tonight?
There was other matches?
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt after watching Cena versus Cesaro. They took so much of any focus that I had on the rest of the show all the way to them.
I don't want to necessarily say that I liked the match and kind of compare it to it, but I liked the match when it comes to overall segment of Ryback.
That's the one I was thinking of, Big Show and Ryback.
Yeah, that's the other one that stands out to me. And I mean, you know, the R-Truth one wasn't bad. You know, there were some bad ones, but...
I didn't think the tag match was bad. I just felt... the
commentary was.
Yeah. Fuck
well,
me.
We'll get into that one, though. So let's talk about what our main story tonight was. Brock Lesnar was in the house. Him and Paul Heyman come out to start off the show. Paul Heyman does this long diatribe about how Brock Lesnar doesn't necessarily disrespect, but he doesn't respect people either, and he just has had this path of destruction, doing his usual shtick, talking about how he conquered the streak and he took John Cena to Suplex City. The big line that he delivered tonight was that the suplexes and beatings begin tonight. So already promising us that we're going to see action from Brock Lesnar, which I know that a lot of people were upset that we didn't see too much action at last week's show. I think they made up for that a bit tonight. Any disagreements with that? No? Beautiful. One note I have here, I like that you could tell what city we're in now based on what Brock Lesnar's shirt says. So if you're ever unsure, just wait until it's a close-up of Brock. You got a little thing there. In Chicago, great crowd, always. I'm partial to New York because that's my hometown area, but I can't hate. Chicago always tears the building down when they're in there. A lot of fun.
And they limited, helped
this Raw beat tonight.
And they limited their CM Punk chance to Sheamus, and I'm happy that that's all they really did, because they could be a dick about it. They normally are.
Are people really still behind CM Punk? I feel like he's lost all of his steam.
I still think he has his hardcore fan base, and I'm personally looking forward to seeing how he does in the UFC, but I don't think he's got nearly the momentum he had when he first left.
Yeah, I think he's taking way too long to do this first fight.
Well, he probably doesn't want to lose his consciousness.
You mean he doesn't want to lose consciousness? You know, because he's going to get knocked out?
I hope he doesn't.
Man. Brock Lesnar eventually would be seen again later on in the night. First, Seth Rollins comes out with J&J. They come out with axe handles. I don't think I've ever seen axe handles used as a weapon, besides when Macho Man did the double axe handle. They're standing in the ring, talking a big game, calling out Brock Lesnar. There was a segment before where Seth goes to Triple H asking him for advice on what to do, and in a way, Triple H basically tells Seth to intentionally provoke the beast because that's what they don't expect you to do. Well, this didn't turn out too well. Brock Lesnar comes out while they're standing in the ring, and, you know, Brock Lesnar ain't no dummy. He's not going to go in the ring where three guys are standing there with axe handles. Instead, he pulls out his own weapons, axes with the actual axe heads. That's a good way to beat a guy with an axe handle. I tell you, I don't think I've ever seen anything scarier than Brock Lesnar standing there with two axes held over each shoulder. That was freaking terrifying. If you wanted to swing those around, I'm a former, I guess I still play a lot of like fantasy games whenever you dual wield anything in them. Oh my gosh, you're a force to be reckoned with.
The thing is, though, I think Brock Lesnar's actually scarier without them.
Just his bare hands.
Yeah, I think, like, I've seen what his elbows do in UFC. I think he's more scary with just those.
He did bust John Cena open in, like, 5 seconds with just his elbows.
I think he would have busted him open a lot quicker if he would have done it with an axe.
You know, I can't disagree with you. For once, I think Tony's cynicism is pretty spot on.
Every dog has his day.
Overall, this segment kicked ass, though. Brock Lesnar, we were begging for it last week, and we're curious by how they didn't have that by the end of the show last week. They did a lot of fun with it this week. They had J&J driving their car around the country. They had this, like, really cheesy, like, Bill Nye the Science Guy cartoon thing where they're driving around, like, into different landmarks around the country. They drive around the city of Chicago and into the arena, and the car's all tricked out. It has camouflage racing stripes on it and extended exhaust pipes. They even had, like, little, like, a J&J security emblem on it. Really, really cool stuff that they did with this. All fixing it up just so Brock Lesnar can come out there and destroy the thing. And it wasn't just, like, breaking glass like you would normally think. He embedded that axe into the door and the fender. He ripped a door off with his bare hands. And honestly, I don't think the door was tricked. I think he honestly just ripped that door off on a whim because he's like, yeah, I could do this. I'm Brock Lesnar. And then even scarier, he whipped the door and it, like, flew like a frisbee. I saw it go into the dark. I'm not completely unsure that it didn't go into the crowd.
Wouldn't it be great if some kid's gone, look, I caught a door. I caught a door.
Try to take that through security outside.
Mr. Lesnar, can you sign my door?
Eventually, J&J have seen enough. They go in to try to stop Brock Lesnar from causing this destruction, but silly guys. Jamie Noble gets caught in a Kimura lock, gets a broken arm to match his broken ribs. Joey Mercury gets suplexed onto the hood of the car through the windshield. And finally, that leaves Seth Rollins open for Brock Lesnar to charge after him. Seth ain't having none of that. He runs out through the crowd scared, and Brock Lesnar just gets to pose for a little bit. And then the car sits there the rest of the night. It just is, like, I guess no one's going to try to back that thing out. It's not safe.
It's just like the announcer table, dude. That's what it is. It's just a glorified announcer table.
Well, good thing it wasn't on top of anybody.
Was it a Spanish car?
Well, Del Rio didn't drive it out. It's probably
made by Mexicans.
Okay.
All right, Donald Trump.
What did you guys think about through all this? I mean, Tony, I know you were upset that that Vladimir's gun or whatever didn't get taken care of last week. So,
what God did you think damn it, Vladimir. Vladimir's gun. The guy that used to show up to all the WWE events. He brought a big show's gun to the event. No, I mean, I still think that last week was a disappointment, and that if they were going to build it up like this, it could have been still even better. They could have waited and done more tonight and then done this next week, and it kind of would have justified it a little bit more as, like, kind of like the rule of three, like you build it up in threes kind of. But I liked what they did tonight. I like how Lesnar fucked it all up, and the best part about it was him breaking the door by far.
Mm-hmm.
That and the first noise when he got the axe stuck, it was just like thwomp. And then he's like, "All right, well, good thing I got that backup axe."
It's almost as if it got planned to get stuck in the door. He's like, "Huh, I'm glad I brought this after all."
It's like he's done this before and he was prepared properly.
Yeah, that's why he had the tote. He's just like, if I know me, that first one's getting stuck.
Every damn time.
I do think that it dragged a little bit too much at the beginning of this, and I kind of wanted them to just skip to it, because last week them not doing it already kind of made me go, oh, I'll just do it already. Like, and I didn't need any more of a build-up. So what they did when he actually started doing it was cool. But I would have been more up for it if it would have just happened either last week, or if they would have spent this whole time building it up even more and had a bigger payoff. You know what I mean?
Mm. Well, Sean, I think a big reason they did this is because Seth Rollins is our current champion. You got to give him his face time. What did you think? Do you think Seth Rollins was boring, or did he have a good time entertaining people until this awesome car beat down?
Well, I can tell you now, he entertained me. You know what I'm saying? Very sexy, man. Very sexy, man. I'm still disappointed that Brock Lesnar didn't actually F5 the car.
That would have been absolutely amazing. Or at least flipped it, like when Big Show flipped that Jeep.
Yeah. That would have been insane.
He could have done it with F5, the door.
One of the security members threw the fucking thing.
Yes, he did. He put Joey Mercury with a belly-to-belly onto the hood because the crowd was chanting for a suplex. He had to give the crowd what they wanted.
Joey Mercury disappeared when Brock walked up the ramp. Did you notice that both of them sort of, like, disappeared?
Yeah, like, would you fucking stay purposes, there? Brock Lesnar just...
For selling purposes, on the rampage. They could have been dead on the car, like, you know?
Maybe they're like in video games when you fade away.
They despawned.
Yeah. Anybody else get really nervous, by the way, when he was going to suplex him that he would give him a German?
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, he's dead.
Right.
I was hoping for a German.
Like, don't suplex this dude's head into the goddamn windshield.
Because he's so light, I expected him to, like, get German suplex, but he went over the car.
Well, this overall was excellent. I think the fact that we had a week to wait for it maybe made us salivate a little bit more for it. Anytime you see a nice car, you expect it to be destroyed now. So I'm happy we got to have our cake and eat it too through this. Wago, you're probably the most knowledgeable about Brock Lesnar's whole career here. Now, this guy is typically just an ass kicker. And we even talked about this when we did superstar scores for Brock Lesnar on the Smack Talk show about how he is kind of just like a plain character. He's just this one-dimensional guy who's just going to beat you up, and he's got like the MMA fighter thing. This was sort of like a cartoony World of Wrestling thing. Do you think that this was not good for his character, or is this just fine?
He did it in a different way than anyone else has, though. When everyone else has got their car trashed, it's been more of a comedy effect, and everyone's getting a laugh out of it. When Brock Lesnar did it, it was scary. He's just got a presence which devours any other stupid bullshit, so...
He's got presence? It's Santa Brock.
Well, then he's going to get run over by the car. You know what happens.
Oh, no.
You know what was funny, though? When he pulled out the fucking box that had all the shit in it to destroy the car with... I'm like, the first thing that came into my head for some reason is, oh man, how's he going to lift that to throw it on the car?
Yeah, and then he opened it, and the first thing you see are fire extinguishers. I'm like, you going to pull a cane?
For some reason, I fully expected him just to pick that box up and throw it on the car. I was actually a little disappointed, but overall, fun ass segment.
I still think they missed an opportunity for that whole thing to just be filled with the axe blades. All the missing blades.
What's he going
to
do? Like, fucking throw them and frisbee them at the guys in the ring.
That would have been crazy. Like, shuriken? Chuck the throwing stars.
It's going to be filled with blades, so the New Day's going to be in there?
I don't know why. I just got a fucking vision of that if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball thing.
Oh, God, with an axe. Oh, gosh.
10 points for the bleach.
With that, I think it's about time we start opening up the phone lines. As we always say, this is the most interactive post-raw experience available. We want to know what you thought about the Brock Lesnar destroying the car segment or anything else that happened on Raw tonight. Call in on the phone line, area code 760-512-7247. We got the chat room open and, of course, at Raw Post Show on Twitter, the Mega Maniacs Facebook group. Tons of ways to get involved. Let's go ahead and open on the phone lines here to, we got two callers from the 609 area code, so I don't want to say the phone number, so I'll say 609-462. Yeah, I got you live here. Who are we talking to here?
I'm Jaden.
Hi, Jaden. What's up?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hi. I'm calling to talk about Tough Enough.
Oh, Tough Enough. Okay. Well, what do you got to say about Tough Enough?
I wasn't happy that Paige picked Sara Lee to in the bottom three. I thought she didn't really show that she in character lately, but she showed she showed that she was so I like that Alexander got picked to go out because he wasn't that good to me. So, yeah.
I have to be perfectly honest. I haven't watched any Tough Enough yet. I'm asking my other hosts here if any of them are watching it. Tony, do you?
Yeah, I watch it every week.
Okay, thank you.
I was like, oh, I'm going to swoop it and save this one. I know it. Sarah Lee has not shown much of a character, but she is adorable and completely unoffensive. Yeah. So that's like what's great about her. She's not one of those like reality TV types where she needs to be like the source of some kind of like arguments or whatever. And that Alex guy, I mean, the way that they position him, at least with the editing, he came off as a meathead who didn't really like wrestling and was here just kind of for the sake of being on a reality show. So.
Yeah, I didn't like that Diana, was it, that she got picked at the bottom three. I think that Josh should have got picked because Josh is kind of, like, getting jealous of Tanner when because Tanner's winning all the competition, Tanner's winning all the girls. So, like, yeah, I think she should have got picked in the bottom three, honestly.
Totally agree. Tanner's a beast.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad somebody was able to follow that. I've been meaning to watch Tough Enough. Is it any good? Is Tough Enough any good? I watched the last time it was on USA when Stone Cold was hosting it. I haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet. I do intend to. I haven't had it yet. So has it been good? Have you guys been enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it. It's a great way for nobodies to turn into somebody. So... I kind of like what they're doing.
That's a very good way to look at it. Did you watch Raw tonight?
I didn't watch the full thing, but I kind of know a little bit of what happened because my family's here.
Did you see Brock Lesnar beating up the car?
Yeah, I saw Brock beat up Jay's new car. I also saw that Roman lost to Sheamus because of Bray Wyatt. To be honest, I really don't like the feud between Bray and Reigns. It's not like, I don't know, it's just not amusing. So, yeah.
Are you a Wyatt fan at all? Is that what's turning you off to it? Is this Wyatt just no good?
Yeah, in fact, I think that Wyatt is not the best wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really amused to what's going on with the feud. I didn't like the tag team match today.
No, why not?
All that. Well, because I want to see something different. Like, I don't want to see the New Day come out like every Raw because it's just New Day. I know like it was made to like as a kind of like a like I don't know what it was made for, but it's kind of annoying that they come out every time. So I wanted to kind of see like something different, like. The prime time players versus maybe the Lucha Dragons or some someone in the heavyweight division to come in and face them.
They could shake it up a little bit more. I mean, Lucha Dragons have they were gone for over a month and a half, maybe even 2 months, and then they just pop in out of nowhere, and it's like, hey guys. I don't know. Yeah. The tag division they go back and forth on all the time. But listen, Jane, we got a few other callers here. I got to get them on as well. But thank you for calling. Thank you for bringing up Tough Enough. That's something I don't think we ever would have brought up on our own here. So I'm glad we got a little bit of shake up on there and brought that into the mix. But you enjoy the rest of the night, man. Thank you for calling in. We're going to keep moving along here. We got another caller from 609 that I'm going to bring on. So caller from 609-658, you are live on the show. What's shaking?
What's up?
What's up? Chanel. Who's this? Chanel, what's up, bro? How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good. Are you friends with Jaden that just called in? You guys are from the same area code.
I know him a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, I know him.
You're connected on the screen right there.
Chanel, what did you think about the show tonight, man?
It was interesting. I love the Brock Lesnar. I love Brock Lesnar beating up the car, smashing the window. Then you saw the way he threw that car door, right?
Oh my gosh! I was worried. I thought he actually threw it into the crowd, and somebody was going to get decapitated.
I think it hit the barricade, and then like bounced off, and then like bounced, you know, back into the area.
Hmm. If we could only hope. It's just a freaky show of strength. Even just ripping that door off. Someone in the chat room was saying that, right, it definitely looked gimmicked because they saw it shaking or something. I think it was Wazili who was saying that. I don't care. I thought that it looked scary. Oh my gosh, the buzzer show. So was that your favorite part of the show tonight, or what was your favorite part of the show tonight?
Cesaro and John Cena.
People are loving this match.
I loved it.
Would you have wanted Cesaro to win?
No, because we wouldn't have all these open challenges. That's the only reason why.
Oh, you don't think Cesaro would have done that?
I mean, he's a heel, right? He's a heel. So I don't think
there was that's a tough question to answer, actually. You tell me, guys. Is Cesaro a heel or what is he?
No, Cesaro's a babyface.
Is he?
Yeah, he turned when he teamed with Tyson Kidd. I've considered him a babyface for a while now.
They were kind of getting the cheers more than anything. Mm-hmm. I do like that Cesaro is wearing like a Tyson Kidd armband. I feel like that's a babyface thing to do. I don't know. Well, Chanel, what did you see tonight that you liked the least? Like, what did you hate the most?
King Baron R-Truth. Just because I saw it multiple times, wasn't anything special.
Well, let me ask you, what's going to happen when we finally see Randy Orton and Sheamus lock up? I mean, we got to be salivating to see this match happen. Never before, guys. Such excitement.
The crowd's going to go dead.
Well, anything else on your mind about tonight's show?
I mean, there was just one side note I had, mm-hmm, that during the Dean Ambrose match and the Bo Dallas match, I heard "Let's go Dean Ambrose," and then I didn't actually hear what the other side of the crowd was saying, but I think they were saying like, "We believe." So Bo Dallas seemed to be catching on.
He did have a good crowd reaction when he came out too. Like I don't know. I think Bo still has his fans. I've always been a Bo Dallas fan. I just think it's kind of weird having both him and the New Day both doing the positivity gimmick. But I think there's more long-term ability with Bo Dallas for that than the New Day. I think New Day is starting to reach the lower third of whatever they're doing. I hope so, anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Chanel, we're going to move on to some of our other callers here. We appreciate you calling in again. You're becoming a regular here. We dig that. You have a good night, man. We'll catch you on another time. We're going to keep the ball rolling here on the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com. Most interactive post-Raw experience available. Already had two cool cats calling in. If you want to get yourself in line to talk to us, dial area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype. I don't think I mentioned that. You press the Skype icon at the top of the broadcast page. You get in line as well. Chat room's been going nicely. They're in there talking about something about teleprompters and booyaka booyaka. Must be talking about Rey Mysterio.
If I could interrupt real quick, breaking news. Hmm? A fan was struck during the Brock Lesnar thing.
No kidding.
Yeah. Since a piece of the car door that he ripped off ended up in the crowd and struck a fan, and then they had the paramedics come out, check up on them and stuff, and then like it turned out he was okay. But
holy shit.
Somebody did get hit.
So it's probably just like a piece of the panel or something that like flew off.
Yeah, probably like, you know, I don't know, like maybe like the door handle or something.
I saw something from the inside of the door fly off, so it might have been that, but fuck, that's insane.
No, Brock Lesnar's a fucking beast, man.
This isn't the first time I think this has happened. I remember like he kicked something once when he did a run-in on Cena, and so it went off into the audience then too.
Oh, gosh, man.
Like, who's going to scold Brock Lesnar for doing that either?
This should be a new gimmick where Brock Lesnar is now, like, a danger to people in the audience. And, like, eventually he's just, like, F5-ing people from the audience.
Right, like, they go backstage, they're like, yo, Brock, you can't do that kind of stuff. You got to be a little bit less reckless. And he's like, ah, okay. Next week he comes out and he's like, yeah, you in the audience, come here real quick. And just beats the living shit.
Remember that really awesome segment with R-Truth when he was out in the audience? He, like, took that dad's soda and he was, like, messing with him and he, like, beat the dad up?
Yeah.
They have to do that to a new level of Brock Lesnar.
They got to do that to somebody who's not a plant.
Mm-hmm. And to the kid.
Yeah.
he should pick the kid up and toss him like he did the door.
Yeah, he should pick the kid up and just use him as, like, a bat to hit other people.
He should use the kid as the axe handle to impale into the car. Okay, this is terrible.
Tell me you wouldn't want to see this. Brock Lesnar beat the shit out of a car with a kid.
We're gonna hold off one moment before going on to the next caller. I appreciate the people that are on there waiting patiently. We'll get to you in just a moment. I want to talk about the next match that we had on Raw tonight. We had Big Show versus Ryback with The Miz ringside on commentary, sort of, I guess. He had a live microphone and he was just talking and taunting throughout the match, trying to get the guys to kick each other's butts and making annoying noises. I'm not really sure how I felt about that. Could someone tell me how I felt about that? Because I'm not sure.
Hungry.
I am feeling kind of hungry. For sandwiches!
Bum, bum.
He was just trolling them the entire time. I forget what the actual ending of the match was, but I know it ended with Miz getting shell-shocked.
Miz calls a DQ on the Big Show.
Oh, there you go. So, what are your guys' thoughts on this? Sean, did you dig this?
I thought it was. I caught it like halfway through because I was gonna go to bed, but then my arm got twisted into watching it because I was reading the chat and I was like, literally? "You know what? I'm gonna watch this Brock Lesnar segment, and it better be fucking worth it."
Because I could totally see you just laying in bed, and all of a sudden your arm just like twists.
You're like, ah, fuck! I guess I gotta watch Raw.
I do currently have a shoulder problem.
Why don't you just take some naproxen?
Because the naproxen doesn't work.
Who said he's not?
Yeah, I'm kind of running out of naproxen, actually.
Everybody's taking naproxen. Puts it into his tea. But not that shitty.
I tried that once. It was kind of gross. I don't like it when it dissolves. Ugh.
Oh, gosh.
But Tony, this match was awful.
Who came out looking the strongest here? And as we're continuing this triangle feud for the Intercontinental title.
Oddly enough, even though it's supposed to be Ryback, I think Big Show. And one of the reasons why is how he kind of no-sold a lot of what Ryback was doing. I mean, he didn't, like, completely no-sell it, like, Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan kind of style. But Ryback's smaller in a way that, like, he can't even do the meat hook clothesline for real. He just kind of, like, I don't know, gives him, like, a weird, like, forearm, and it looks really bad. And having Ryback do that to Big Show and Big Show just kind of roll out of the ring like the one Tough Enough guy did with Austin. That kind of makes Big Show seem like he can brush it off pretty easily, and it's a good thing because then if Ryback beats him at Battleground, it'll seem even bigger. But I think the highlight of this whole thing was actually The Miz, and I like when they have people do this kind of stuff. I don't mind when they're on commentary, but I like it when they're interacting a little bit more. And I used to like when the NXT people, the old NXT, when they had the coaches, a lot of people hated it, but I liked when the coaches were on the ring and they were, you know, kind of giving different, like, I don't know, pep talks and stuff like that.
Well, I remember there was a period where they tried doing this with managers, too. Mm-hmm. We all remember what happened to Abraham Washington when he had that live mic on him. So,
but The Miz had a good line tonight. They were chanting Cleveland sucks, and he just went with, I'm not from Cleveland, I'm from Hollywood, you idiots. And it reminded me of Jericho's thing. Actually, Jericho the other day referred to Miz, I think it was Tough Enough, actually. He referred to him as Jericho Jr. I was like, oh, it's kind of fitting.
Well, when he was doing that whole wannabe thing, he was always making fun of Miz as being the biggest Jericho wannabe.
Right. I mean, it works, and Miz is playing his part perfectly. He's that sniveling little snot in between these two giants.
Wago, is Miz still the favorite for this?
I've still got the Miz going over. I think he's going to get some bullshit win where one of the guys has done all the work, he manages to hook the leg, and he gets a short title run before someone takes it off him at SummerSlam, which will most likely be Ryback.
So, well, I was about to say, is this ultimately meaning Ryback's run is just going to go down in the books as nothing, really?
Well, I think he'll regain the title and have his run from there, and I don't think it really hurts him to chase after the belt, so I prefer that.
So here's a big question I want to pose to everybody, and I was just thinking about this before. We remember the reports coming out around WrestleMania time that WWE wants to make an initiative to make the Intercontinental title and United States title more meaningful. I think it goes without saying that the United States title is in a very good position right now, but have they done that with the Intercontinental title?
I would say yes. I think the title's meant more this year than it has any other previous year. Of course, it was a little stronger when you've got Daniel Bryan holding it, but they haven't done that bad of a job since he's been out with an injury. I think Ryback's doing a good job, and he's finally actually getting to establish himself more so now than his initial babyface run. So I think this is actually a good way to test out what Ryback can do as a champion. And the belt's, I wouldn't say it's lost too much prestige. I think it's doing well.
Any other thoughts from anyone?
They could do better.
You go ahead, Tony. Go on.
Okay. They could do better, but they are definitely doing better than what they've done in the past. And I think one of the only problems that they have right now is that they don't seem to really want to put certain people in the spot to fight for it. Like, they're still hesitant to do it. And that'll probably go away in the next couple months or so. I think that next year is going to be even stronger than this one.
So you think they're just going to keep progressively building?
Yeah, I think that they're playing around with the U.S. title a lot now, and that's their focus, so they're putting the Intercontinental on the side. But once this whole thing with John Cena's over, they're going to realize that they've been neglecting the IC title a bit, and they haven't been doing bad with it. I mean, it's not like they're ignoring it like they did back in 2005, 2006 or something like that. But I think that they're not quite there yet, and they're still kind of like testing the water. And right now, Ryback is a good spot for this. Let's see what happens when it comes to SummerSlam. If they give him that kind of shitty treatment like they've done in the past, where Ryback is the IC champ, but they still have so many other names that they care about more, and he's wrestling on the pre-show, that'll fuck it over. Mm-hmm. But if they make him a priority, that'll do wonders for it.
So you're saying even after he's done being champion, how he is treated impacts how important, not just how important his run is, but even the prestige of the title itself?
Definitely, but I also think he's going to retain.
Oh, okay. Like, for good? Or just this match, maybe Miz gets it at SummerSlam or something like that?
I think it seems a little too obvious that Miz could win it, so it's going to just turn into one of those things where Miz takes the fall.
Hmm.
I think the Big Show's going to win it.
We're just all over the goddamn place here.
Well, Dave Tommy's going to come in.
Kevin Owens going to get it.
Yeah.
Ferris 419 in the chat room saying Ryback still seems like a transitional champion to me. And that's just something I'm kind of worried about, you know, like that he just won this tournament just to put it on somebody. And now they're going to put it on who they actually wanted to, who I would assume is Miz. I guess there's a possibility it could be Big Show. He was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner, after all. I mean, that went a whole lot of nowhere. Why? What would happen with that? He just put over Roman Reigns with it or something?
Yeah, it's more than what Cesaro did.
Touche. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines back up. Let's take on our next caller here. They are from the 646 area code. Caller from 646, you are live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Aisha, guys. What's up?
Hey, Aisha. Good to have you back. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How was your 4th of July weekend, guys, by the way?
Oh, it was booming. Get it? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Actually, I worked. I work in retail, so I was busy at the stores. But it's okay. I've been to enough 4th of July explosions in my time. And I still got to have burgers at one point. How was yours? Did you get to have all the typical festivities?
Yeah, I have fun. I grilled some short ribs, so that was good. Was able to watch my team win yesterday, so that was exciting. the whole fam was there. My family was there, so it was awesome.
Wait, I thought America lost.
Oh, they didn't lose. They won 5-2.
Oh, I thought you told me they lost, Wago, you liar.
I didn't say they lost.
Oh.
Well, I said they were just racist assholes to the Japanese.
Well, in that case,
no,
we do lose.
No, come on. They beat us 4 years ago. And 4 years later, we beat them. It's like revenge. So.
There you go.
Still racist.
Aisha, what's your favorite American-themed thing in wrestling?
An Ajax Swagger, I'll tell you that.
Poor Jack Swagger.
Yeah, right? That was completely uncalled for.
I guess the only obvious one is like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hulk Hogan. If not Hogan, then real American. That's what gets it. Oh, who just said, fuck Hogan's theme? How are you going to say that, Sean? I'm disappointed in you.
I didn't say fuck Hulk Hogan's theme. I like Hulk Hogan's theme.
Oh.
Even though I'm not American.
Never mind.
Celebrate 4th of July.
I definitely saw Hulk, and in really small letters, I thought it said something else. My bad.
Maybe Wago said it.
Maybe. So Aisha, what'd you think about Raw tonight?
I thought Raw was actually good. At some parts, I was able to watch it, keep my eyes on it, especially that main event. Cena and Cesaro, they've been, every time they're together, they just put on great matches. And some parts that I didn't really care for, I was just on my phone, on Twitter, doing such. But overall, I thought it was a good show. It was very, enjoyable to watch.
That main event match seems to have been a really big hit for everybody. 2 weeks in a row, Cesaro and Cena have main evented the show, and they faced against each other before and really had great matches. Do you hope this could be something good for Cesaro?
Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's gonna be bigger things for him? I mean, his tag team partner is unfortunately away with an injury. Looking like Tyson Kidd will not be back for well over a year. So I mean, you can't just keep Cesaro on the side. So Cesaro's gonna need to start doing something else.
I mean, I think, why not put him in the IC title, picture? I wouldn't mind him being IC champion.
We were just talking about the IC title and how we're not really sure what the direction of it is. I honestly wouldn't mind that if as Tony was saying, Ryback retains in this little triangle thing they got going on. Then his next opponent is Cesaro for, SummerSlam. I think Ryback and Cesaro could have a fun little match.
Yeah, they could. Two big guys, strong guys going at it. Should be a pretty good match.
What do you guys think about that? You think that's a potential thing they could do?
I'm down for it.
Woo, woo, woo.
I wouldn't say no.
All right, everyone's down. So let's see it. Book it. Aisha, what'd you think about Brock Lesnar's actual destroying of a car?
That was very enjoyable to watch. But hey, I mean, Brock, you don't have to destroy it. You can give it to me. I can use it in his car.
Wouldn't that be funny if that was just like a turn where like he just takes their car and just gives it to somebody and just like watches them like get all upset? No, my car, she's driving it away.
But it was nice. It was one of the best segments of the night, in my opinion. But it was nice. And yeah, like you guys said, someone got hurt. So. I hope that guy's okay. Him throwing that door. Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, Jesus, don't hit somebody.
They're going to have to start putting, a disclaimer.
Cut their throat.
They're going to have to put a disclaimer on your tickets whenever Brock Lesnar is booked for the show. Like a little waiver or something saying that you can't sue if you get hurt when Brock Lesnar's in town. what else stuck out in the show to you? Anything?
Bo Dallas is still a thing. I just realized that.
He is a thing,
What's up with R-Truth?
What is up with R-Truth? Guys, what is up with R-Truth? What's up?
I know the people over there.
The people over there are what's up.
And the people over there are.
But the people over there.
I'm not too sure about the people over there. What's up?
You're terrible people, and you should feel bad about what you did.
Yeah, we've got some terrible people over here. What's up?
Aisha, we had a caller before mentioned Tough Enough to us. Have you watched this Tough Enough show?
I watched last week, but I didn't watch... I didn't watch last week, but I watched the episode the week before the other episode just happened. But
Any good?
I don't really like the format. I mean, I watched the first episode, but not the second episode, but what I've seen with the show, I don't know. The format is so weird. Okay, what I find weird about, okay, you have Paige, Brian, and Colton as judges. Okay, so they're watching the thing as we're watching us live on TV. So what's the point of having judges? So I don't know. The format's weird. The live thing is weird. So I don't know. They're just, like, to me, I just think it's like another version of Full of Divas, but it's just wrestling reality. It's like drama. That's like all I see. So.
And you're not down with that? You don't watch Total Divas either, I'm guessing. You don't watch Total Divas either, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I actually like Total Divas. Hey, show's fake, but hey, they give me entertained.
I'm not judging. It's like that, like, do you. Do you, and don't apologize for it. Did you watch Beast in the East, that Japanese show they did? I haven't asked anybody about that. It's a really awesome show. Did you get to catch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did watch it. There was no way I was going to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to watch that, so I watched the playback, and that was a good show. With Bart, Jericho and Neville, I can see they were doing a Japanese pace style match, so I really like that match.
Mm-hmm.
People were bitching that Jericho went over. I didn't see no problem with it. It was whatever. Divas match, I didn't care. The main event, I don't know why that show, main event with the freaking tag match, Baylor and Owens in the main event. And by the way, that match was freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Baylor's body paint was on point. And all those streamers.
The streamers kicked ass.
Awesome.
When he went to do his pose with his arms out and just like thousands of streamers flew into the ring. I felt bad for those guys who had to clean it.
I know that's a tradition in Japanese, but it was awesome to see that. The match was amazing. I'm like, just like, man. And I think Bayley deserves that title. I mean, it would have been better with Tadeo winning since it's his hometown. But, hey, well, he'll be eventually.
They just made up their own story that it was Finn Balor's hometown. Even though he's, like, very obviously Irish. They're like, no, I'm going home, and I'm going to win it at home. That was the story they were telling. Aisha, before you go, your high point and low point for tonight's Raw, your favorite part and your least favorite part.
My favorite part. I'll say this. Brock Lesnar is probably destroying the car with my high point, and I'll say my honorary high point is Cena and Cesaro. And my low point was the Divas. I don't care about them.
You know, it's a shame. There's been reports that not just Bayley, but now not Sasha Banks. Oh, that would be terrible. Becky Lynch are both injured. So that Divas division down NXT is getting in shambles, and that just worries me because I don't think we're going to see the likes of Charlotte or Sasha Banks called up anytime soon now. So we're going to be stuck with the Bellas and Alicia Fox for a little bit longer.
Freaking Eva Marie is on NXT.
Did she actually wrestle yet?
Gosh. I mean, not yet, but soon.
I have this feeling like she is going to wrestle and she's going to be like really good.
She's training with Brian Kendrick, and
she's been training really hard. Yeah, I have a feeling she's just going to out of nowhere go in there and just be like doing moonsaults and shit, and she's just going to like shut everybody up. I'm actually really hoping that's the case.
I think they're going to build it up to be something really special, and she's going to pull like a fucking CJ Parker and just break someone's nose.
She said she wanted to wrestle like a Mexican style pace, so I'm like, okay, I'll see what you do. Then I'll.
What you mean,
like
really fast with no storytelling?
Terrible.
Well, we can all look forward to that. Aisha, always good to hear you calling in. You're always welcome here. Call again anytime. You have a good night.
All right, you too, guys.
All right, and the show continues here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Most interactive post-Raw experience available, and having lots of good callers tonight. Happy to see all the good energy coming in from you guys. If you are listening, don't be shy. Call in, get your voice heard. Area code 760-512-7247. Dial that number. It puts you in line. You can also use Skype. Chat room is still open nicely. They're in there. Let's see. Ferris419. We were talking about reality shows, so he says, I like Swerved, but they need to do fewer poop and fart jokes. That's the impression I've gotten. It's very, like, high schoolish, and that's what's kind of keeping me turned off from it.
I gave it a chance. It's not as bad as I thought it'd be.
Really?
I tried it for 20 minutes and turned it off.
All right, so you're getting lots of mixed reviews here now.
That's all right.
Tony's right in the middle.
Yeah.
You're we're not helping you out at all. It's just like, good. It's all right. Shit.
You're not going to watch it and be like, this is the best thing ever, but it's not like offensively bad, like that kind of thing. It's something to put on.
Maybe when every once in a while, I like to just throw the actual live stream of the WWE Network on just to, you know, basically roll the dice or whatever's on. So if I ever do that and Swerve's on, I'll leave it on and see what's going on. I'll say on one more time. Yeah.
On.
So next match that we had up on the card tonight on Raw, Brie Bella versus Paige. And the next match we had was Roman Reigns versus Sheamus. These guys had a pretty decent matchup.
Match?
No, I thought this was a good match. Wasn't great, but I thought it was a solid Raw match. There was no like big botches. There was decent storytelling and selling. And again, just like the match that Sheamus had and Roman Reigns had last week, I think it was, the match was only interrupted by, or only hampered by an interruption by Bray Wyatt. This time he sent down some guy who was just dressed in a Bray Wyatt costume, who Roman Reigns goes and attacks, but the wig comes off, then... I don't know, the bat thing happens and Sheamus wins via countout. It was kind of chaotic, but it worked, I guess. The only thing is I was just really distracted thinking the whole time afterward, who was the guy? Who's like working for Bray Wyatt now? Like, you can't just like do that. Like have him have minions and then not have minions and then he has a minion again. You can't do that.
A little Twinkie guys?
Yeah.
It's Hornswoggle.
That'd be a great movie, Bray Wyatt taking control of the minions.
Oh. I'll be honest, I completely skipped out on this match, and that's because it's gotten to the point now where I don't really give a shit about Sheamus enough to try. I really should, too. That's the thing. This is the guy that's money in the bank against the guy who main evented fucking WrestleMania.
We watched that guy win the Royal Rumble, dude.
Right. And I'm like, oh, it's Sheamus. I guess I'll work on a logo or something. It was completely like, I would rather work than watch Sheamus now. So I didn't even see the whole thing with Bray Wyatt or fake Bray Wyatt or whoever he is, the little Twinkie guys.
Fake like, quiet.
I didn't see a minute of it. I was just kind of like, there's no point in me watching Sheamus anymore. That's sad.
I think you were already at that point years ago because you don't remember that Daniel Bryan Sheamus match.
Maybe. I know I watched it, but I must have just forgotten it afterward.
You going to say something, Sean?
I'm the same. I can't remember the fucking Daniel Bryan and Sheamus match. I, too, also skipped out on this match because I don't like Roman Reigns at all. So I was just rearranging my statistics on porn stars that I've watched this month.
Oh, my gosh. See, all right. So
statistics? See, I got a spreadsheet.
I gotta make a shout out to Leslie in the Mega Maniacs group. She's been posting a lot. And I saw another... fan of the group. I'm sorry, I have no idea how to pronounce your name. I know you're from Greece. Your name is a bunch of symbols to me. I don't know your name, but I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. I really don't even know how to attempt. It's like KPITWV.
I think you were better off not thanking him.
Well, anyway, he made a post about the situation in Greece and, like, you know, how proud he is of his people for people power and staying strong. That's all cool. I'm happy that you're in a good mood about that. And Leslie, as an American here, she posts a list of all the articles that she's read based on that particular topic alone. And she posts a list to this website, Read Lists, which I guess just, like, tracks articles that you read about certain topics. And it has like 50 fucking articles just about this Greek financial crisis. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're at the point where you're reading so much of this stuff that you actually have a website that keeps a list of all this stuff. And now I think Sean just topped it.
By the way, I think that the fan that you're talking about is Crichton.
My number one is for the month.
Crichton?
I can give you my top three.
Like Michael Crichton?
For the month.
K-R-I-T-O-N. I think if I'm thinking of the same person that I think that you're talking about.
That's not what that looks like at all.
Who's number one, Sean?
Number one with 22 views this month, Sarah Stone.
Wait, just this month? You keep monthly statistics?
Yeah, I keep monthly statistics just in case I get bored.
Sean, I think this is why you don't have a girlfriend.
Number two with 15 views is Brie Olsen.
I think that the amount of views is why you've got the shoulder problem.
I don't.
Wait, and that's, wait a minute. That's this month so far. It's only the 7th, dude.
I watch for the storylines, all right? I appreciate a good story with my porn, okay?
Ferris419 just confirmed. He says he ran it through Google Translate, which I don't know how he did that just by me reading it off, but he says he thinks it is Crichton. So.
Crichton L. Damon on YouTube.
Okay, shout outs to Crichton L. Damon.
I forgot it was July, so I need to update.
Yeah, it's you're slacking on your statistics, man.
It's been July for a week.
2015, what the fuck?
I thought that was the number of times I went.
to the number one.
I changed my entire system, though. I gotta fuck this up.
He's gotta overhaul the whole system.
I gotta start again.
Oh, man.
I have to hire an intern.
All the pages are stuck together. This is ridiculous.
Hey, it's on Excel, all right? There's no pages.
Oh, gosh. So, speaking of stories of love, we had Rusev and Summer Rae in the ring. What's that?
Good transition.
Yeah. Rusev is apologizing to everybody, but very, very sarcastically. Most importantly, he apologizes to Dolph Ziggler because he's, a dork, whatever he said. Dolph Ziggler comes out for the second week in a row wearing a real fucking jacket. Thank the clothing gods. Dolph Ziggler freaking... you know what? I think it's because he got a woman. I think the woman was like, Dolph, honey, please, don't go in public like this.
Hang on.
Dolph Ziggler and Lana come out and they start gloating. This prompts Rusev to attack Dolph Ziggler with his crutch. He crushes his throat, which just was not good looking. Rusev goes to start taking off his boot because, haha, it's a ruse. He's not hurt anymore. His ankle's fine. This was hampered, though, because he was having this... It took him, 2 minutes to get this damn boot off. Of course, a potato's natural enemy. Velcro.
He should have seen it coming, though. It was obviously a ruse. I mean, look at his name. Ruse is in it.
Indeed.
Rusev.
I am so over this shit. I mean, I guess I'm happy that Rusev can fight again because maybe that means we'll actually get this match and this whole shit will get over with soon. Yeah? I mean, am I wrong? Is anyone else, actually feeling this?
No. I just want Rusev to put Ziggler in the hospital.
I could not give a shit about this feud. I don't care about Rusev anymore. They killed him when Cena ran him over and then backed up on him.
He looks terrible with Summer Rae.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't. He doesn't have that same confidence either. He's just a different character, and I can't get behind him.
Even less, I don't care about Lana.
Yep.
I'm fine with Rusev. Lana, though, is just I was never the biggest Lana fan to begin with. So we're already working, against that kind of a concept, but... At the same time, Lana's just kind of bland. And I'll say right now, people are going to jump down my throat on this. I think she's overrated in her looks, too. And people that go, well, she's just a pretty face and stuff like that. I'm like, well, she's pretty low on my list when it comes to the divas. So she can't even kind of we keep seeing this ad for the Total Divas thing where they're talking about Eva Marie is just a pretty face. And it's good that she's got that because she's got nothing else. Lana's by far not ugly or anything like that. But I'm like, man, she's not even in the top 20 of the people in the divas to me. So I can't even look at that and just be like, well, at least Lana's out there looking smoking hot and whatever. Sunny could do nothing back in the day and I enjoyed it. And Lana is trying to do a storyline right here and even getting more physical and I couldn't care less.
You know what I think it is? I think she's just a terrible baby face.
Maybe.
Because when she was, representing Rusev and doing their thing, she had more heat than most heels in the entire company.
She was also in a good package. Those two worked together. Their characters were designed to play off of each other. Now you've got two characters out of their element, and it's just awkward.
Ugh, they just fucked everything up with those two. They were doing so well. It disappoints me when they do shit like that, and they do this over and over again.
Yeah, but she's going to be the next Miss Elizabeth, like AJ was going to be the next Miss Elizabeth.
Or like five other people beforehand were going to be.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they had that conversation about Ashley and stuff. Dolph.
A battleground when this match happens. This solves everybody's fucking problems.
I really hope it does still just end up being that whole thing where, like, haha, I was fooling you all along, Dolph. I'm actually still Rusev. But at this point, it seems like they've gone too far. Now that they got, like, Summer Rae involved and all this shit.
What is Summer Rae? Just a hooker, is it, for Rusev?
I do like his nickname for her, Hot Summer. It's so dirty and skeevy.
Yeah, it does, like...
It seems like he didn't even try. I'm like,
wow, that's skanky as hell.
Yeah, it is. It's like, yeah, what's up, sexy broad?
Yeah, exactly. This is my girlfriend, attractive girlfriend.
Yo, what up, slut?
She's got attractive features and everything that attractive things are attraction. That's like all Rusev is doing. And I'm fine with that. I don't care. I mean, you know, the thing that bugs me about the Summer Rae thing, more so than the fact that this is even happening and it sucks, is that Summer Rae is more concerned with kind of just being on the side of Rusev and not doing all that much. Meanwhile, we've got this whole story with the Divas that are supposed to be like, every Diva's got to pick a side, by which we mean Alicia Fox's and then nobody else's for the next couple of weeks. Summer Rae doesn't give a shit about that. Like, she's here just to be Hot Summer next to Rusev.
And they were building something up, too. Like, on SmackDown this week, they had a situation where Naomi got ganged up on. And then they were talking about it at the Beast in the East pay-per-view when they had Tamina coming out. I was expecting Tamina to come out and back up Paige this week.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Wait, so, how do we start talking about Divas? What the fuck?
Because it shows that, like, when we talk about, like, the men in the company and we go, you know what, everybody should be looking as though they want to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit, all the Divas should look at least like they are in the division and not just like arm candy.
Well, the Bellas set that standard. And now they're going to be the longest running champion of all time. Yep. We had another matchup tonight. It was Wade Barrett versus R-Truth. Not really too much to go on here. Was someone on commentary for this? I don't remember. No, I don't think anybody was. Wade Barrett wins the match after a really awesome bullhammer. R-Truth is jumping off the top rope, and Wade Barrett catches him almost out of nowhere. It's good.
Thank God.
You were about to drop him, you said.
I was about to drop him. He hasn't won in fucking forever, well, it seems like, anyways.
Hmm.
Did he not get an entrance, too?
Who, R-Truth?
Well, both of them.
Don't remember.
So I think that they both were just like starting in the middle of the ring, and it's like, that's your king of the ring. He doesn't get a goddamn entrance anymore.
He has a cool entrance, too.
Yeah.
One of the few people that have pyro.
Yeah, they probably don't want to spend the money on him to do the pyro.
You don't have to.
I just like the fact that he shouts boom every time his song hits the word boom.
He kind of does what John Cena does with the pose, although he does it with the boom. But this, I don't think anybody was on commentary, but I think that, if I'm remembering correctly,
nobody at all,
that this was the type of thing that where they were really ragging on Byron. It might have been this match.
Oh, Byron was on commentary today?
There was some match, and I don't know if it was this one or it might have been a different one, but I do specifically remember JBL just kind of going like, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, dude. And just like,
it's really going hard on him. It's okay, JBL got his later.
JBL also said something in this match that I actually, one of my notes for this, other than that the bullhammer was awesome. He kept calling R-Truth a faux king. And I was like, say L. Faux king L.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, the next segment was that Brock Lesnar destroying the car. We already talked a bit about that. So after that, how do you follow up something like that? Well, with a tag match, playa. Lucha Dragons versus The New Day. And this match, we had a special guest on commentary. Two of them, in fact. The primetime players. And by God, I wish we didn't. Because they were freaking... The first half of the match, they were just obnoxious and atrocious. And then at some point, I don't even know what it was, but Titus O'Neil just started getting really pissed off at JBL. And like, he never was really clear why exactly he was mad. He was just, like, so fucking mad. And he, like, every time, like, Michael Cole, like, tried to transition on and, like, just go back to business as usual, like, Titus O'Neil would just start harping on JBL again. Yeah, JBL, do your job. Come on, say something.
JBL muted his mic real quick and just kind of like muttered to him. He's like, dude, you suck in the ring.
I don't know what it was because, like, he said, do you agree with me? And JBL didn't answer. He's like, so you don't agree with me? And then he wouldn't leave him alone. And then it turned, it went from a disagreement to, you can't do your fucking job, JBL. The fuck? Far from the fucking you, motherfucker.
Wazili's saying that JBL apparently said something about Florida football.
Well, JBL's like, so you used to play football in Florida, right? And he's like, hey, fuck you, buddy.
I'll play football wherever I fucking want.
Football over your ass. That's.
Yeah, New Day wins.
Woo.
And there you go. Oh, we got a tweet coming in from our friend Dane Quinn. No surprise. He is happy to see Rusev is back. All is right in the WWE.
He also says Ryback should be in jail.
What? Oh, for attacking the Miz?
No, for Rusev, I think.
Well, we got one last bit of news here, and I don't want to get too deep into it because I have to imagine it's a hot tag, and I spoiled Tony's hot tags last week, but we got our cover for WWE 2K16 reveal tonight. Stone Cold Steve Austin, and boy, has there been controversy over this. People are pissed because they're like, well, why couldn't it be a current star? I'm pissed because the commercial for it fucking sucked. Like, last year they had this big epic thing with a big, huge orchestra and all these lights and, like, this really awesome music. And then the reveal of Sting. The year before that, you had Ultimate Warrior walking around WWE headquarters, just, like, people beating the shit out of each other, and he's screaming an Ultimate Warrior promo. This year, Stone Cold digging in the desert. Wow.
CM Punk's one was pretty fucking sweet too. This really is a step below them all.
Mm-hmm. But this was freaking awful. Did not get me excited for this. And honestly, at a point where they had to. I have never played a wrestling game so little as I have WWE 2K15.
2K16. Please don't get mad at us this year.
I mean, okay, I'm trying to be forgiving because, you know, they had the new company take it over, but they had 2 years now. They haven't made that many positive changes, and there's been a whole lot of negative ones. I don't know if I have it in me to give them another chance this year. I don't know, what do you guys think? Are you sold? Are you going to be pre-ordering this? Are you going to be picking it up? What are your plans?
I'm a sheep, so I'm going to get it regardless.
John?
I'm going to keep my opinions until Smack Talk.
Okay, that's fair. Tony, I'm guessing you're doing the same.
Yeah, pretty much, but I'll just spoil one thing. No.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a video gamer, so you would have to first go out and buy a PS4.
Buy a system. No fucking way I'm spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get this goddamn game. Good old Mono Apex Stang in the chat.
All right, guys, so it's time to do our end of show segments here. I have a few things. I actually have something new to do. And that, I want to start a new game. You know, over on Smack Talk, we have the Ask Him. Well, on here, I want to start a new segment. It's called Tell Who him. Said It? It's called Who Said It? And the way you do this game is I'm going to read a line, and you're going to tell me who said it.
When did they say it?
So I'm going to read this line out to you guys, and you tell me who said this line. I look rough, tough, and entertaining.
True.
I ain't got a clue.
Sean?
The Miz.
Was not The Miz. All right.
This wasn't tonight, was it?
This was tonight. This was on tonight's episode of Raw. All right, so the hosts were stumped. We're going to put this out into the chat room. Who said it? I look rough, tough, and entertaining. Give you guys a little bit of time here while we do the other segments. If you don't get it by the end of the show, I'll answer it for you guys. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you guys what my favorite commercial was, since we got a request for that from Ferris 419. My favorite commercial tonight was for Hearthstone, the game from Blizzard, who makes Warcraft. They've had these series of commercials where they're like in an arena and they have two guys on commentary. The first set of ones were okay, but they released like a new set of them tonight, and they had a really funny one where this guy was summoning a creature, and it had like a 50-50% chance of being like something really badass or being a squirrel. And of course it ended up being a squirrel, and it's going against this giant ogre, and the ogre just crushes it under his foot. And the one commentator's like, "Is he okay?" And the other one's like, "Well, an ogre stepped on him, and he's a squirrel, so no." It's just so blunt. Like, I always appreciate the humor from Blizzard. Anyone who's played the Blizzard games, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Did you guys catch that one?
Yeah, I did. I got a chuckle at that one. It's the first time I saw it, so I'm guessing it's a new one.
Mm-hmm. Nope, skip that on that one.
Yeah, I saw it. It stuck in my head because I'm a Hearthstone player, so...
I play it every once in a while. It's a fun game. I'll have to duel you sometime. Any American commercial food places that you're... caught your eye tonight, Sean? I know that's something that you always get excited about when you watch Raw.
I want to try these fucking fish sticks or chicken fries.
Chicken fries, yeah.
Whatever the fuck they are, they look fucking great.
Oh, yeah, chicken fries are like an American staple now.
They are pretty good. For as much like processed whatever the hell they actually are, they are good.
The most processed chicken ever. I mean, that is not a natural shape for chicken to be in. What part of the chicken does the fry come from?
I mean, I'm already reserved on the fact that it's got to be not chicken.
It's got to be not chicken.
I'm just curious whether or not it's meat at this point.
I don't think that really matters because I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The chicken at McDonald's for their nuggets were better when it was not real chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When it was horse meat?
Yeah, when it was just fucking random shit, which... could have been, like, scraped off the bottom of someone's shoe. It tasted awesome. Now they're fucking boring.
All right. Well, we got one more thing to do, and that's the good, bad, and ugly. Before we do that, though, I'm just going to put one more reminder out there. Who said it on tonight's episode of Raw? I look rough, tough, and entertaining. Put it in the chat room if you know it. In the meantime, we're going to head into the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what our favorite part of the show, our least favorite part of the show, and what the most terrifying part of the show was. So let me ask you guys, your good, bad, and ugly, Wago, what's your good, bad, and ugly?
So for my good, it has to go to Cesaro versus John Cena. Awesome match, and enough said. As far as the bad goes, I'm going to give it to the Divas match. It wasn't offensive by any means, but it was sloppy, too short, so yeah. And ugly goes to the ongoing storyline with Dolph Ziggler, Lana, Rusev, Hot Summer. It's all kind of just fucking awkward.
All right, Sean, you're good, bad, and ugly.
The good, John Cena and Cesaro. The bad, the Divas. The ugly, that cancer kid is probably dead by now.
I don't even want to know which one. We're just going to keep moving along here. Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Good is Cena versus Cesaro. The bad is that they're continuing the Randy Orton and Sheamus feud, because if I didn't give a shit about Sheamus and Roman Reigns, I definitely don't give a shit about Sheamus and Randy Orton. And the ugly, still no developments in the Diva situation, because the running theme that I've been feeling when it comes to the Road to Battleground is that I can skip the majority of each one of these episodes of Raw, and it probably won't be any meaningful things other than a couple of segments here and there. And this Divas feud is really the epitome of that.
I can't disagree with you there, although I do have something different for mine. So let me tell you guys my good, bad, and ugly. I'm going to break the chain here. My good is actually going to go to the destroying of J&J's custom car by Brock Lesnar. That just kicked ass. Visually, everything looked awesome, from the axe embedding, the door being ripped off and flying through the air. Totally kick ass. My bad, I'm going to give to all guest commentators tonight. It's just horrendous. Specifically Titus O'Neil. My ugly, Brock Lesnar dual-wielding axes. I do not want to be on the opposite end of him standing there with two axes. And with that, guys, we're hitting the end of the show here. We only got plugs left to do, so let me first answer for you. Who said it? Reminder, the line was, I look rough, tough, and entertaining. That was said tonight by Titus O'Neil.
Damn, that was my second guess.
Yeah, he was sitting there while he was, you know, going back and forth with JBL. I think JBL said something about him looking ugly. And he's like, what? I look rough, tough, and entertaining.
I'll beat your ass.
I'm rooting and tooting. All right, guys. So let's take a few moments here. Tell everyone out there listening about other cool things that we got going on. Because if you dug us here, you'll dig us in these other places as well. Wago, what you got cooking?
All right, to find out what I'm doing, just go over to StephenWago.com. That'll take you to my SoundCloud, where you can find all of my social media links. Remember, StephenWago.com.
All right, Mr. Sean Walker, what you got to tell folks?
If I have my laptop fixed before the end of the week, I will be doing a Twitch stream on the Sunday. So look out for that. That's twitch.tv/Shaughnessy1989. And do you reckon Brock Lesnar broke JB Noble's iWatch when he did the Kimura lock?
I certainly hope not. Or at least I hope he has AppleCare on it.
God damn it, I was about to say that, you bastard.
Oh, wait, no, AppleCare doesn't cover physical damage. Never mind, he's fucked.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, Tony. What's good in the world of Tony?
Now I'm kind of curious. Does AppleCare cover the person in the crowd if they would have gotten hit by the watch?
Nope.
Damn. That sucks for them.
That's pain insurance.
Go to smartoutmemo.com for all things on the wrestling side of stuff that I do. The Smack Talk podcast this week is going to be a mailbag, and we're going to also do a call the spot for the NXT 5, so pay attention to that on YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher. Go to fanboysanonymous.com for the geek culture side of things. This week we're going to be doing not only a four reel movie club of Mission Impossible, but we're also going to be doing something about the LGBT community in comics and such like that. So if you're into the nerdy movie, video gamey kind of things that we like, then go to that website. Pay attention to the All Talk show if we decide to do one of those out of nowhere. And just follow Tony Mango and A Mango Tree elsewhere, and you will find links to everything else.
All right. We appreciate all you Mega Maniacs tuning in tonight for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. And if you enjoyed yourself, you should be tuning in every single week. Once Raw goes off the air, go to your browser of choice. Go to the little bar in the top where you type in the address and go to megapowersradio.com, and you're tuned in to the most interactive post-Raw experience available, where you can listen, join the conversation, and hopefully share it with other folks too. Get other ones involved in listening, because the more people hear, the bigger the conversation is. If you want to support us, the number one way you could do that is by going to our Patreon at patreon.com/megapowersradio, and you can give us as little as $1 a month. I think everybody can afford that, and if everyone listening out there gave $1 a month, we'd be able to extend the length of our shows, get some better hosting, all those things to improve everything going on here at Mega Powers Radio, to give you all the great shows like this one, Daceman Show, All Talk Show, whatever else we got on there. You can also subscribe to us on all different means if you can't join us live. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, TuneIn Radio. While you're at those places, leave a rating and review. Help us climb the charts. And that's all I got to push into your ear this week, folks. We hope you enjoyed yourselves. We will see you next week here on Mega Powers Radio after Raw on the Raw Post Show. I am Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, for Sean Walker. Y'all have a good night. Be safe, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.